Hello and welcome to The Ravens, a movie and TV show podcast. I'm Simon.
And I'm Dom.
And tonight's movie for debate is Boyhood. So hello and welcome to The Ravens, a movie and TV show podcast, where it is always 10:30 at night, so it's time to grab the snacks from the sweet cupboard, move on upstairs and settle in, as tonight's movie for debate is Boyhood. Dom, I won't say a minute, because I know you hate that. It's been a while. How are you, my friend?
It has. It's been a long time, but I'm very good. Very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, and even better, because how dare we even consider covering a Richard Linklater? We will link later on the deciding factor on how we'll pronounce that name. How dare we try and cover one of his movies without the Richard Linklater or Linklater aficionado? Sophie, you're back. We love to have you here. We really enjoyed our Before Sunset, Sunrise, Midnight kind of trilogy, but mainly speaking about the first one episode last time. So happy that you're back. Welcome back. And how are you?
Hello. I'm good. I'm happy to be here, always, to talk about Richard Linklater movies.
You were saying later.
You know, we just couldn't stop at one series. We had to keep going. So.
And Dom. Yeah.
And I'm so glad that you guys are back.
Oh, thank you. That's so nice. And
no, my ears have been lonely on Tuesdays.
Never again.
Well, and just so people know, because we know, but they don't know because they can't see, but you are actually sat in a car at the beach at 6:30 in the morning in Australia, ready to watch the sunrise while we talk about this film.
I think it's starting, incorrect. Oh, wow. Can you guys see that?
Yes, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yes.
Thursday morning.
Yeah, I know, I'm pretty lucky. Yeah, it's pretty good. No?
Awesome. And Dom, we're back in this mode of watching a film that, well, I know I hadn't. Actually, I don't know if you had, but I'm making an assumption that you also hadn't seen Boyhood before, you know, covering it for this episode.
I had not seen this film before covering it. So went in totally blind, didn't know what to expect. I watched it today. I watched it this morning. It's a long old film, but I gave it a good watch, paid a lot of attention, and it was my first viewing. Yeah. So ready to dig in.
So you had a day off from work today?
No. I was working at the same time. Don't be ridiculous.
Yes. Well, this also was my first time. Well, let's go around first. So, I mean, Sophie, it was your selection, and as our esteemed guest, what's your history with Boyhood? You know, when was the first time you saw it, and you know, how come you chose it for our festivities this evening/morning?
So, I'd actually have only seen it once before, and that was a couple of years ago. Because I discovered the Before Sunrise trilogy a few years ago and became obsessed with them, as we know. And then, yeah, I just came across that movie when I was looking into his other stuff and saw, like, oh, this movie's pretty highly rated. So gave it a go and really enjoyed it.
How many times have you seen it since, or is this only your second viewing?
Only second viewing.
Oh, okay. That's cool. Yeah. So it's relatively fresh for you too.
Yeah.
And Dom, I know you just said you went into it blind. So had you even heard of this movie before? Had you seen the artwork, anything?
I recognised the artwork. I recognised the screen post or the front cover kind of thing of the what you would expect. It was on the front of the DVD because I watched it through other channels, of course. And I recognised it and thought, oh, this looks really familiar. Maybe I have seen it. Started watching it. Got into it immediately from the beginning. I thought, I'm not going to like this film because of the Coldplay song that begins. Any film that starts with a Coldplay song, I think, Jesus, this is going to be long. But, well, I won't spoil it. But no, I hadn't seen it. Completely new to me. I had absolutely no idea about the film. I still have no idea about the inner workings and the background of the film. So I didn't look up anything. I didn't look at anything. I just watched it and thought, head into this podcast completely blind and just pure opinion.
The best way to be.
And what about you?
I had never seen it, but I had heard of it, and I did know about the concept of it from going to the cinema. So this came out in 2014, and so I remember seeing the poster, and I think I was in America, maybe even like coming out of an American like movie cinema and seeing it there and reading the tagline or something on the poster saying a film that was 12 years in the making. So I mean, Dom, do you know that part, that this was, did you get that part right, that they filmed this over 12 years?
Well, I mean, I kind of figured it out, because there was a brief moment where I'm thinking, how are they making these kids look older? How are they, like, but it was really early on, so it's just like, oh, hang on a minute, this kid, it was the boy mainly, but like a moment with a girl as well, I thought, it's the same people, but they look different. What's happened? What have I missed here? And then realized, okay, so every time we have sort of a little time jump, it's still the same people. So they must have felt, God, they must have been filming this for years. And then I thought, God, imagine the contract on that, where you've just got like this repeat bit of work every year for however long, like you said, 12 years. Like, you just, can you come back, do a load of filming for us for, you know, 2 months or whatever, and, you know, easy payday. Love that.
Well, so I can tell you, so I looked some of this stuff up. But right, sorry, firstly, yeah, I hadn't seen it. I recognized the artwork and knew that it took 12 years. And then I heard when we did the Before trilogy, kind of, mainly the first one, I was doing a bit of research into that, and I saw an interview of Ethan Hawke talking about this, because it was him collaborating with Richard Linklater. I'm going to say Linklater. It's probably Linklater. What are we thinking?
Linklater, but I feel like that's like an Australian way of saying it, probably.
I'm going to
We're
say
close
Richard,
enough, aren't we? We're close yeah, enough to the Aussies, so we drive on the same side of the road. Bosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too true.
There you go. Well, because they'd collaborated, they were talking about it, and there was all kinds of like records and things to do with this movie. So the first one being, when you're saying about the contracts, is it was illegal to have a contract for filming that goes that long. Like you were not able to have a commitment with an actor for that length of time. So they had to essentially have a bit of like a handshake deal of promise you're going to come back. Like, please come back. Like, because if you don't, it's kind of messing it all up. And the whole concept was to take someone, you know's life from that transition from childhood through to their teenage years up until college, and film it in real time. And it's the only movie ever, though obviously knowing the internet has only been a thing as it is for a certain amount of time, but it's the only movie ever to get a straight 100% like Metacritic score, which is when the movie critics give their scores on like IMDb or wherever. It got 100 as soon as it was released.
Wow.
And is still at 100. So it's like every critic agreed that this was essentially like a perfect film made about that topic. It was nominated for 5 Academy Awards, including Ethan Hawke, Patricia Arquette, for the screenplay, for directing, and one other one. Patricia Arquette won for Best Supporting Actress. Yeah, it's the only film of its kind, you know, to film for that long, well, that we're aware of anyway. So yeah, it's an amazing concept. It was an amazing film. I mean, I have lots of opinions on it too. I mean, Sophie, do you have anything else you want to talk about with regards to it in the broad strokes before we get into the details?
I don't know. I guess that's what I always found so interesting about this movie, obviously. And it almost feels like it's an experiment, like almost like a documentary, even though it's a movie. But And then I guess also fun fact for Dom that, you know, the older sister of the two kids, so she was actually, she's Richard's daughter in real life.
Oh.
Yeah. And she apparently got over it like a few years into it and like wanted to be out of it. I think she said like, oh, can my character die of swine flu or something? So it must have been one of those years when like swine flu was a big thing. But then I think, yeah, then she got back into it. Yeah.
Wow. Good fact. Good fact. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, do you have any broad stroke stuff, Dom, or are you ready to go in?
No, just like the music throughout it is obviously very important because it gives like a scale of the time as well. So I was like, okay, I'm up to date now. I know where we are in the world, like, because of the music that was playing. Obviously all the music they talk about, I think is really, really important. It seems really important in this film. And that's kind of it really. Like, I think going into the finer detail, we'll pick out more bits as we go.
I can give you a couple more little facts about the music. Is that there is no original score in the film at all. All of the music is, you know, all, what do you call it? I don't know. Published. They've licensed it. They've licensed all of the music. I instantly thought of you, Dom, with the Beatles sort of mixtape. Dom's a massive Beatles fan. And that was actually taken from Ethan Hawke's real life, which him and Patricia Arquette went through divorces in the span of this being made. Obviously, Ethan Hawke's divorce was very famous and public. But he made a mixtape like this of the Beatles for one of his children. So, yeah.
Very cool. Good idea.
What I really like straight away, I'll just say, is that I like how there was no, like, year one, year two. Now yeah. He's 14. Like, it didn't tell you. It just transitioned. And you, like you said, Dom, you kind of had to work it out from... His hair was the biggest giveaway. Like, we're just talking about him specifically, about Mason. But, yeah, the music, the phones, how they were, like, transitioning into, like, the early iPhones. I thought that was, like, a nice choice. And there was a bit of trivia. I tried testing it. I don't think it's 100% true. But it was saying that it's approximately 14 minutes on each year. Well, I think it's probably a little bit less than that. But, yeah. So we start with little tiny Mason. What did you think of that first segment, Sophie, in his introduction where he's lying on the grass, like, in the front cover of the movie?
Yeah. No, it's pretty good. I don't know. I think that's, you know, obviously you're figuring out like, where is this movie going? But no, he's like a pretty good, you know, child actor. And something else actually that I didn't realize until the first time I ever watched this movie was that I'm actually the same age as the character Mason. So no his way. School years actually line up with my school years. Like, I was in kindergarten in 2002. So that was like extra nostalgic for me as I watched it like throughout the whole film. I was like, oh my God, yes, that was exactly what I was into at that time. More so relating to the sister, you know, like with Lady Gaga, but, you know, jumping ahead. But no, I think it's quite a wholesome start. You know, he's daydreaming and then they're telling him that, you know, he's not, like, doing that well in school. And
well, and I mean, Dom, what, going into this completely blind, were you thinking, I guess you had no idea, like, it suddenly could turn into Twister for all we know? I say that because you referenced, we were talking about that earlier, or it could turn into, like, it could go in any one of a million different directions. But I mean, it stays very much like a real to life drama, really. I mean, was that what you thought it was going to be, or did you think it might take some twists and turns along the way?
I thought there was potential for twists and turns, but I think I quickly realised that this was going to be a true to life thing. I think based on the last film that we did as well, it was all together, us three. It was very that was kind of the format for that film as well. So I thought this would be very similar. I did think it was kind of going to be a deadbeat dad film. So like, we've got a dad, he's a bit useless and we're trying to make him better, or we go and hang out with him and it's a shit experience, and we go back and mom has an issue with it and they continuously have problems. And I thought it was going to be that, and deadbeat dad doesn't like new stepdad, and nobody likes new stepdad because he's a piece of shit. But it just like, I thought, okay, the ball was just going to continue to roll until something kind of explodes or implodes, you know, like the kids will just be like, fuck this, I'm out of here, and like run away or something, you know. But it did just turn out to be this journey and this kind of vision of true life and almost like acceptance of, well, I didn't choose any of this, and I've kind of just got to follow this path from this boy's perspective. But I'm kind of glad it wasn't like deadbeat dad. I'm kind of glad that he's around, he makes an effort. I know I'm jumping well ahead, but in the scene where they go camping, he's like, it doesn't matter if you move away again, because like, if you're still in Texas, like, I'll drive to you. It doesn't matter if it's just a bit longer in the car, I'll come and get you and we'll do whatever. And I thought, oh, this is, he's actually just, he's decent dad. This is decent dad film. He's trying really hard to kind of rekindle that relationship. And the way he talks to the kids as well is very like there's a moment where he's in the car with them and says, no, we're not going to have like that, you know, this one word answer sort of thing. You just ignore me. We're going to have a conversation. And they push back at him and they're like, but you don't say anything either. And it's like, okay, right, well, we'll start from here. You know, this is how it's going to be. And it's kind of, he's actually very grown up with them and tries to keep them grown up. And I thought the whole doing bowling, can we have the bumpers up? It's better for me when, you know, we're playing bowling. It's more fun. There's no bumpers in life, kid. I thought this was just going to be a hard hitting. You're just going to get shit for the entire film and it's going to be so difficult the whole way through. But it actually wasn't like that at all. I was pleasantly surprised, I will say.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I think maybe we could take it character by character. Maybe it would be an easier way than doing it year by year, because that's going to be hard to remember. And what I thought was really good about the movie was that it wasn't just Mason's journey. So where you're talking about Mason Sr., Ethan Hawke's character, is that I like how towards the end of the movie, he was kind of saying, you know, we got pregnant young and he wasn't really ready for it. And he was saying that he probably wasn't that good to Patricia Arquette's character. She maybe could have been a bit more patient with me. Like, basically saying they were young, they were in their early 20s. And you kind of watch him become a better dad as the film goes on, because it's like he's aging and becoming more mature and wiser, but he's also sort of being more accountable for himself. And so you're watching his transition as well. I mean, obviously we'll talk about Patricia Arquette's journey separately, but they all have these different, I'd say the main threads here are Mason and his parents. Yes, the sister as well, to a certain degree. And then there's just the other characters around them. But I really enjoyed Ethan, well, all of the parents' trajectories at the same time. I mean, Sophie, which one do you want to talk about first? Should we go in with the main event, or do you want to start with one of the parents, the sister?
Maybe we'll like work our way up. Maybe we start with the sister.
Okay, so what is your impressions of her? Like, do you have brothers or sisters?
No, I'm an only child, actually. But I guess like when we first meet Samantha, like, and I feel like they capture, like, I don't know, just like a young girl really well at the start. Like, you know how she, like, she comes in and she's just like, you know, like impersonating the parents and like just saying just like nonsense, kind of like what kids do that they don't always show, like in the movies. But yeah.
And I read somewhere that Richard Linklater wanted her because of how she annoyed her siblings in real life, and it was like a perfect true to life kind of performance. What did you think of her, Dom?
Total honesty.
Please.
Total honesty.
Please.
as the years went on, as she got older, she got worse. She was like she was the standout for bad acting in the film. And the level for acting was really good. So it was really obvious that she wasn't great. Which I feel a little bit bad for saying, because I know, like you mentioned, like halfway through or whatever, she didn't want to be in it anymore. So there might have been a bit of kind of that lackluster feeling of, oh, I have to do this and I don't really want to do this anymore. I want to go and do whatever with my life. But yeah, I just feel like as we progress, she gets a bit worse and she talks without moving her mouth. And I just, like, half of it, I was thinking, what the fuck did she just say? I have no idea what she just said. When she's a little kid and she's, like, singing Britney and winding him up and throwing things, and then the mum comes in and she pretends to cry and it's like, Mason, stop throwing things at your sister. And it's just like, we have an older sibling, the two of us. We've both been in that situation where, you know, we've taken the brunt of something that wasn't our fault, or we're being tormented. But, you know, I used to envy people that didn't have siblings.
Do you know what memory? Like, I've had, yeah, damn it, Sophie. You and just having privacy and dignity at home. A memory just popped straight into my head. Do you remember when you kicked my sister? Because she was, like, being mean to us. And you just, like, I think you kicked, or did she kick you? There was a kick.
No, there was a kick. She hit me in the back. Your sister hit me in the back. And then she lay on the sofa and I hit my foot just in front of her face on the sofa. So didn't quite hit her. But she said I hit her and I did. I didn't.
So this happened.
But it was your sister, not mine. I was defending you as well. I think you were getting... We were both getting battered, to be honest.
Absolutely. But I mean, she'd
hit me in the back and then I... You know, you had like blue coloured sofas?
Yes.
I remember like blue sofa, and she was kind of like, by that point, had then like gone to lie on one, like maybe jumped on it. And I went and then pushed my foot right by her head on the cushion. I didn't actually get her, but she said I did. So there you go.
Well, but I mean, also, she is a difficult sibling. She's older. She's older as well. Like, we were the children in this scenario. But I remember being, I won't name them, but there were three brothers, Dom, that were in our village. You already know?
Already know who you mean, yeah.
Yeah. And and we were friends, the middle one was in our, he went to your school. Yeah, was in our was in our class at primary school, and I was round his house for like a sleepover or something, but he had an older brother and a younger brother, so it's like you're kind of there with all three of them. Anyway, it was a very upsetting night for me because I had Chucky from Rugrats. That was like, I had a Chucky doll toy thing that I slept with. It was like my mascot, you know, throughout my childhood. I still have him upstairs in a drawer. He's safe, but it's like my childhood thing. And they used to wake up at like 6 a.m, like freaks. Sorry, Sophie, I know you're up pretty early right now. But I mean, like, you know, for children, like, come on, it's like a Saturday. And while I was asleep, they washed his hair with shampoo and like ruined his hair, like Chucky's hair. And it really like broke my heart that firstly you stole from me and then you, it's fine, I got him, it's fine, don't worry about it. But anyway, that same sleepover, the little brother, it was just me and him in a room, and he just suddenly just goes, ow, oh, stop hitting me, stop kicking me. I was just stood there. I was like, what? And he's like, ah, ah. And the mum comes in and just starts shouting at me. And I was like, you know, when you're like, I must have been like less than 10 like years old. And I was like, you know, when you can't get the words out, like, and do anything. And then he left and he just kind of looked at me like, ha ha. And I was thinking, you fucking prick. Like,
so what you should have done is he's cried wolf then. Is then you should have hit him.
That's true. Then he actually did. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Then he actually, okay, I'm allowed to hit and kick you now. Yeah. Never hit or kick anyone in my life. That's the problem. I should have called you, Dom. Didn't have a phone. And, you know, sorry about that. Anyway, Do you have a childhood cat there, traumas Sophie?
What, you'd like to share?
Yeah.
A cat?
Looked like you were stroking something. What was...
There's not like oh, no, I'm just got my drink bottle. No, my cat isn't in the background this time, licking herself. I don't... Because I don't have, like, my... I don't see myself, like, while I record, because I get too distracted on being, like, oh, how's my hair look? And so I turn it off, and last time I just remember my cat was in the background, and I was like, I don't think she's in the picture. Then I eventually kind of looked, and I was like, oh, I think she is, just, like, you know, grooming herself mid-podcast. But, yeah, no, not this time.
Yes, she should. Well, okay, so what we're saying is the less said about the daughter, the better, right? So should we just move on? So what's the... where do you want to go then, Sophie?
Maybe we go to Ethan's character then.
What were your thoughts? What were your thoughts of him, Sophie?
He's definitely not as likable, obviously, as Jesse, as we know him. I'll stop doing comparisons, but kind of like going on what Dom said before, it's like, it's not really like he's like a good or bad parent. It's like more complicated than that. Like as like at the start, you're just like, oh, this guy's like not around. Like he doesn't care. But then he kind of realizes it goes on that like, no, he does love his kids and like he's doing the best he can, like with what he can deal with. And obviously just made a lot of mistakes probably at the start. But yeah, especially towards the end, like you do like him more, you know, and he obviously does love his kids. So yeah.
And he becomes, I mean, he becomes a dad again, you know, later on. Cause like he says, he has that great conversation with Patricia Arquette's character at the end saying, you know, hey, you did a really great job with them. And she says, oh, well, you've got it all to come again. He's saying, yeah, you know, I won't have an empty nest for like another 15 years or so. We really showed the progression. And I guess just... like it's hard when you're young and he is like has a roommate, like he's trying to make it as a musician, and you know they go to the baseball game and then they go back and they're staying at, you know, and he's like Mason's having to sleep on the sofa. It's interesting how like Mason's trajectory, we're gonna have to kind of intertwine them a little bit, I guess. It's not like he goes south or goes off the rails or anything like that, but it's kind of, I feel, it's showing, reflecting in him the trauma that his mum's going through when she goes from one alcoholic to the next, which we know we'll talk about. But, I mean, we're to connect the dots there that his behaviour and kind of attitude towards life is a reflection upon those circumstances that he's witnessed. Is that how you viewed it, Dom?
Yes, but there's also clear influences from his dad. So like the way his dad is very politically minded, takes them out to put the
Obama,
the little banners in for Obama and Biden, and go and get rid of the you know the other one for, I can't remember who it was now.
McCain,
that's it. Go and get rid of those. And like later on you see that his kind of political views and the way he kind of views the world is a slightly more extreme version of that. So you kind of see that this kid's growing up with all these influences, all these things that have happened, all these traumas, like you said as well, and he's taking them on board and he's kind of building something out of it, kind of like the teacher that comes into the dark room and gives him a kick in and says, you don't even need to be in here anymore, you just wasting time, you've got projects and things that you need to complete, things that you should be handing in, go and do them, stop messing about in the dark room, this bit you're good at and you can do this and blah blah blah. And he gives him some really good advice in that scene. He's like, you know, one day you'll remember me for that. So there's all these little influences that you pick up on all the way up to like later on in life, and when he's talking to girlfriends and stuff and the things that he's saying. The only thing that didn't really, like, the music stuff sort of translates over with him. The only thing that I really sort of resonated with the dad, like, quite a lot, because he was, like, sport obsessed and saying, oh, that person supports that team and they like that team, so we don't talk to them. You know, we'd stay well away, we'd stay clear of them and the whole music connection. And it just felt like he was kind of like a bit of a failed musician, had to work at an insurance company, and then it just, that life kind of took him in a different direction completely. But kind of his focus is still his kids and looking after them, making sure that everything's right with them. But I did think there'd be more kind of interference, I guess, with these new alcoholic husbands that are causing lots of issues, particularly the first one we come across.
What do you think, Sophie?
Yeah, no, definitely. I agree with that. Thank you. Yeah. I know, I guess maybe it's from, like, maybe it triggers something in me, but I just feel like the whole time it's almost like the parents, like, don't understand what, like, Mason needs. Like, they don't understand that maybe he's, like, struggling with certain things and, like, but I don't know, maybe it's like the classic parents of like that time and just so like, oh, just like, you know, try harder at school, just like get it together. But I don't know, like obviously he needs like different sort of help. Like, I don't know. I feel like the whole time the parents like don't really like see him. I don't know, like deeply, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like there's this thing about conscious and unconscious parenting that people would say that in today's generations you can have parents that are a bit more aware, like self-aware of themselves and how they're parenting, and also becoming more aware of their child and what they may be experiencing, and therefore being able to guide them a little bit more. And then you've got maybe traditionally more quote-unquote unconscious parents, like in these time, even just a few generations ago, like in these time frames and before. This isn't like to say for everybody, but you know, people that are like what you're explaining and saying, that you know, they're kind of not as aware and maybe a bit less able to put themselves in to his perspective. I mean, and it also shows a lot of things that go on that the parents just don't know about, like the little scene where he's like bullied or threatened in the bathroom in like the middle school. It's such a horrible scene. It was so real, like as in those kids, like the nonsensical like bullying, kind of trying to make themselves alpha, those kind of things. The same with the scene where I thought something was going to go horribly wrong, where they're throwing the spinning blade into like the wood or whatever in like this abandoned building. All of that was so sort of realistic too. I mean, the whole film was. Was you worried, Dom? Was you like, that's going to end up in someone's head? Or you thought we were safe at this point?
I was thinking, yeah, it's those moments where the mum's like, right, leave the phone number on the counter. Have you got your phone? Is it fully charged? Don't do anything stupid. And then he goes and he's like chucking literally a circular saw blade into a piece of kind of wood that's like, they've drawn a little figure on it and they're throwing it at it and they're kicking that plank of wood. And I thought, oh, there's recipe for disaster here. But yeah, it just felt like for the entire film, there was no real kind of jeopardy for him. But I thought there was always going to be some. There'd be something like, you know, he's cut his foot off or something stupid like that, you know. Or one of his friends has got hurt and he's got to tell his mum and his mum's going to kick off and be really pissed off. You know, even if that was it, even if that was the moment. But I found it really, like, really, really interesting, like this film, like in terms of his behaviour and the responses towards him. Because everybody has that kind of same response to a kid in that kind of situation that seems like they're not really putting any effort in. But actually, this kid's really intelligent. And rather than kind of try and nurture, you know, what they're good at or finding out how they best learn or how best they can contribute to something, it's let's push and shout and give them a load of trouble. Like his boss in the when he's washing up in the diner. I couldn't think of the word. I was going to say calf. But when they're in the diner, I see something in you. I want to promote you, but you're really shit at this. And I'm going to give you hassle and stop talking and get on with this. And we're absolutely swamped out there. There's just this. Everybody can kind of see that he's great, but they can't get the best out of him. And that seems to be like the theme throughout all the years, I think.
Except for that.
It's interesting as well about like, that for a lot of those things, like say like getting bullied, like usually in most movies, it would like come full circle and there's a scene where like he stands up to the bully, but those things don't happen. It just shows like those moments that it just happened to him. And then, you know, life goes on and that's probably realistic. Like what happens to most people, like we don't get that, you know, like standing up for ourselves moment. Everything's great now. And yeah, it's what made it feel pretty real.
Yeah, I totally agree. That is, the whole thing felt realistic. Like you said, Sophie, it felt like watching, it's like a documentary almost. You did say that, or did Dom say that? One of you
said
it.
Sophie said it.
You said it. Yeah, don't question yourself, Simon. It did really feel like that. And I was thinking about, could they do this again? I think you definitely could. It'd be so interesting because everybody's story is as interesting as this. There's no such thing as like an uninteresting human experience, I don't think. Like everybody's experience is so relatable because we're all experiencing similar things, if not the same, obviously not the exact same things, but you know, we're all facing the trials and tribulations of life. And yeah, it was really, I mean, okay, let's talk about the mum for a minute. So Patricia Arquette, at the beginning of this film, I know I say this all the time, any blonde woman that's older, she reminded me of my mum to begin with. And then she goes on to be a psychology teacher, which my mum is. It was crazy. But she looked less like my mum towards the end of the film. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I read somewhere that Richard Linklater asked her to not get any plastic surgery during the 12 years that they were filming it because it wouldn't be in alignment with her character. But
yeah, because that would have been, I think, during like her medium years where she was probably, you know, making bank. So I'm sure she was probably tempted.
I read that as well, that she shot the whole of that show during the span of this film.
That makes sense.
But I wasn't expecting when she starts dating her professor, like when she goes up at the end of the class and she's got Mason and he's like, you know, young with her, and then he starts talking to him, I was thinking, oh God, where is this going? You know, like, is this going to be super nefarious and horrible? And it is nefarious and horrible, but not to like those limits of extremities. And I was thinking, okay, what's happening? Seems okay. Oh, he's a little bit uptight about the Cokes, the Coca-Colas. And as everyone knows, lovely, delicious Coke. I love it. I'm thinking, hang on a minute. Don't limit my Cokes, you know. But then there's the moment where he's hiding the bottle of alcohol like in the utility cupboard, and I thought, oh boy, here we go. Did you think, Dom, as soon as you're seeing that, like, oh boy, here we're in for some trouble?
Well, it was when they're at dinner and he looks at the kid and is talking about his homework. He's looking at his own son and says, you didn't finish your homework because you were playing with Mason, weren't you? And he just stares at him, and I'm thinking, this guy's going to be an asshole. You know, he's either going to have an anger issue or a drink problem. And it ended up being both. So, yeah, it's just the standards. I think one of the best lines that the mum has is, talking about lines, funny enough, it's just that you have a line for everything. You know, there's so many lines. It's too difficult for them to know where they stand because they're always crossing a line with you. That's me paraphrasing, of course, but that's essentially what she's saying. And the scene moves on from there. But yeah, when he's filling up the cup with like vodka or whatever it is, like gin, and then puts like a drop of Sprite in it, I'm like, Jesus, this guy is not hiding this.
I was wondering, it's like, are you putting the Sprite in there because like the lemon and lime flavor maybe will like take some of the smell away a little bit, maybe?
I thought so as well. I thought maybe he's trying to hide it a little bit, but or hide it from the kids, I guess, or make it seem like, oh, it's Sprite and it's, you know, it's pure vodka or whatever it was.
I'd be like, but Dad, you're limiting my Cokes, but Sprite's okay. Where's where's the line, Dad? Where's the line?
Half a gallon of vodka's okay.
Yeah. Sophie throws the glass at the table and he's like losing it. Were you as surprised as me that she didn't just take the kids out immediately and just be like, yeah, I'm gone? Like, she actually left them upstairs for a bit. Well, they were kind of like kidnapped. He's like going through their phones and all of that.
I think I remember thinking the opposite, that I thought that, oh, like she'd probably, like maybe she would say like, oh, you know, it was just a one-time thing, and that they would actually stay there for a bit longer because, you know, they've got a bigger house. And I was surprised that actually, like, she did kind of get them out quite quickly. But straight away, like, when she's not there for a split second, you're like, oh, my God, does she just abandon them with this, like, psychopath? But, yeah.
And do we think on, in retrospect, I'm just thinking this now, maybe this is just obvious and I'm being simple, but that she chose, because he was obviously older than her, that she's chosen this, like, older guy that seems to be more stable and more mature seeming and more put together, because that's like the opposite of what Ethan Hawke's character was. He was someone that was young and immature and didn't have stability in his work, that it's like, let me go for this, not like in a father figure kind of way, but in like a this older guy that can maybe look after me. And then that kind of backfired, or am I reading too much into it?
Yeah, I think so. I think, like, it does a good job of showing, like, when you're a kid, you just think, like, you know, like, what are you doing? Like, why would you do that? But obviously, like, I think the mum did have, like, good intentions, like, thinking, like, oh, you know, like, she was hopeful, like, maybe this will work out and, like, you know, we can be a family, you know, have, like, two parents, have a bigger house. So I guess, like, the good intentions are there, but obviously it didn't work out.
He said something creepy as well, Dom. Well, about something about squeaky beds or something. Did you catch that?
I didn't, no. What was that in reference to?
At the dinner table when they come back, is that what you're talking about? When they get married and they all go out for dinner? Mm-hmm. And he makes that joke about, like, I think they were asking them what they did in Paris, and he makes that joke about, like, oh, we didn't leave the hotel room very much. We were playing video games.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, the kids are just like, huh? That's weird. Like, obviously, they don't get it.
And then he's like, yeah, the beds were squeaky or something. It's like, bro.
inappropriate.
Like, you
actually, something I did notice. Sorry, no, something I actually did notice last night, like maybe this could have been me like really reading into it, but you know, I don't know if it's before or after he throws the glass at the table and he says, when he's like, you know, attacking Mason, like, you don't like me very much, do you? And he goes, I don't really like me either. I noticed that Mason uses that line again, like years ahead, like with his, when he's breaking up with his girlfriend, or they're already breaking up and they're fighting. I don't know, maybe it is a coincidence, but I just thought, like, huh. I wonder if they did that intentionally. But I don't know, to show that, like, he's affected by that and, like, that, like, really stuck with him. But, yeah.
That's a great spot. Yeah, I think almost certainly it's intentional, and we've, like, literally watching his influences and his influencers throughout his whole life. So it's going to be something that would have stuck with him, and, you know, ended up using it himself as an option. As something to say, as something to throw back at someone. Yeah, it's clever, very clever. Clever way they've done it. And God, can you imagine kind of getting to a scene or you've written a scene that's 6 years down the line from where you were before, and remembering to put that in. It's just crazy to think how that has worked out.
I wonder if they were like cutting it together as they were going, like, because what I was really impressed about it, one of the many things I was impressed with about it, was how it looked seamless. It wasn't like the beginning of the film looked like it was 12 years older than the end of the film. And knowing that you know, cameras evolve and keep getting, and different technology and things, you know, keep getting better, Obviously, maybe to just remedy that, they're like, we're just going to use these same cameras the whole way through. I'm sure that's what the answer was. But I just mean, like, here, you wouldn't look at it and think, oh, these scenes were shot 12 years apart, apart from the fact that they obviously are, because the actors are 12 years older. Like, it's really well done and put together. And then to your other point about, yes, influences and influencers, I think it's like the whole film is showing cause and effect and conditioning, how we're conditioned by our parents and our surroundings, and the cause and effect of this thing happens, so this happens, or this thing happens and this can have this side effect, you know, or this thing happens and so I react in this way or react in this way. It just kind of shows how all of that is so important into the direction that we go in our lives, but then also how difficult that period of life is, going from being a boy through your like teenage years, or girl, but just in this case boy. And like, there's oftentimes I've thought, like, as an adult, I wish I could go back to being like a teenager now with the perspective and information I have now. And watching something like this makes me think, God, no. Like, yeah. As in, done it once already. Going back with the knowledge you have now would probably make it even harder, because you'd be like, oh, God, these things. Like, I think there is some form of, not naivety, but there's a reason why the frontal lobes don't develop until a bit later. And I imagine if you was to go be in a bathroom and be threatened, you know, if this happened now, be, excuse me, sir, I'm here to use the facilities, you'll be getting an email. No, but you know, it's like, everybody goes through a lot, and I think sometimes we don't even realize how much and how resilient you have to be just to get through it. And I think this really showed that. And so why I think this was like a really great film, it's not something I could revisit a lot, because it's actually quite hard watching in some ways. Like, it's not difficult like in a way Schindler's List would be, or 12 Years a Slave or something like that, but those are also movies that are so well made, but you don't want to watch them over and over again because it's difficult to watch. This is kind of like that, but not in that it's kind of so real to life that it's like, yeah, it is hard growing up. But really well done. Sorry, I went on tangents about multiple things.
No, I completely agree with everything you said. I think that's why I haven't only seen it like once. I feel like I can't rewatch it for the same reasons, especially like, it's also like a reminder as well that when like something's like not really going well in childhood, like you kind of like stuck there, like you still have to like live with your parents and stay at school even though you don't like it until, you know.
Absolutely.
I'd just like to jump back to the mum very quickly and the relationship with her, because this film really highlights the differences in relationships, obviously, between Mason and the other characters. But really, particularly his mum, and kind of the differences or disparity between mother and father. Father is not there full time, has them at the weekends, gets to do all the fun stuff. Mother is there full time, working, studying, eventually just gets into working, struggling with, you know, shit husbands, so on and so on. So you see, just such a struggle of her trying to be a good mum, but going through this kind of turmoil, not really being able to enjoy her life. She says it right at the beginning with the guy that you know, turns up and says, I'll come back after we've gone out or whatever. And she's like, I've got kids, I've got responsibilities, I can't just up and leave them. I'd love to, you know, go out and go to a bar or go to this and do this and do that, but you know, I went to school, I did this. Yeah, you know, and I had kids. That's my life now. Whereas Mason Senior, that's not his life. His life is very different. I think it was a really good kind of a really good display of that kind of world and kind of struggling single mom. Mm. She finds a bit of security with her next husband. He's a piece of shit. She then moves on. It's kind of okay, and then. So on and so on, but the relationship between her and Mason really grows. It goes from starting off like, honey, you can't leave your homework at the bottom of your bag. You've got to hand those things in. You know, you've done them. Just hand it in. That's the whole point. It's like, oh, the teacher didn't ask for it. You know, it's a valid comeback. To, you know, kind of, why are you doing that? You've got to behave and be like this because this is how this person wants us to be. To then suddenly having an open conversation with him saying, I want to downsize the house. I don't want to live here anymore. You know, sister's moved out. It's just the two of us or whatever. I can't really afford it. I spend my whole life like working and then got nothing to show for it at the end of it. And he's like, you know, live a little or whatever. And she's like, oh, okay, yeah, fuck it. I'm going to live a little. To then suddenly he's the one that's leaving. He's the one that's moving away. And then there's a snap. There's just a switch. And suddenly she's just lost her shit. And it's like my whole life has built up to this kind of moment of finally having some time for me. And I'm going to be dead soon. And that's kind of what she's throwing at him. And I thought, fuck, that's just like the relationship is so different. And the growth of that relationship is so different, like so open and honest with each other. And then all of a sudden it's like, you couldn't give a shit about me. You're leaving me and I'm going to be alone and I'm fucked. I was like, oh my God, like it's so real, so real.
Yeah, it was so, totally agree on everything you said. And I was thinking that right at the beginning when, like you said, Dom, when Ethan Hawke came in, I thought, oh no, I'm not going to like you because you had the whole bumpers thing at the bowling alley and just like, are you the kind of kids that like presents? You know, he's just kind of being that divorced dad that comes back and kind of buys his love with his children. But like we've all said, it doesn't go that way and he matures and progresses and he is stable and in their life. But yes, I mean, she is the one that's housing them, clothing them, feeding them, looking after them day in, day out, and he sees them twice a month. I mean, there is a huge disparity in what that does to your life and the commitment and everything. And yeah, I totally felt that. And yeah, so her character, and it was breaking when she said that at the end, like, what am I just waiting to die now? And it was sad because she was in that like little apartment when they were first there and he was packing boxes. I couldn't tell. I was like, oh, is this his college dorm? And this is like his little bit. And then I realized, no, he's packing and leaving. It's like, oh no, she's like done all of this and got all this far and now she's just kind of here. And I mean, the other testament of her character was that she inspired the guy that was doing like the pipe work outside her house, and then he's the manager of the restaurant and he's doing his like masters or whatever it was, and his, you know, lunch is on me, she's a great woman, you should listen to her. It's like, and this is what she gets. It's like so sad because I thought she was going to be happy with the second guy. We meet the army guy and I didn't quite get the Dom shaking his head straight away, he knew it was bad. I didn't get the thing of like his regiment was the only regiment that didn't lose anybody when they were on their tour. And I was thinking, that is crazy. Like, what, how is, I was thinking, so what do you don't have as much PTSD. Maybe this is going to be okay. Like, yes, PTSD is you're out there, but I mean, maybe you didn't see people. I don't know. What was the point of that? Was there anything there that we should have read into? Because it still happened. He still like became an alcoholic and was in corrections and
survivor's guilt, I guess.
Oh, survivor's guilt.
That was my understand. As soon as she met him, I thought, we've met someone who is a hero and he's fantastic and he's talking so kind of fluently and really well about, you know, joining up. And he said, if a major incident happens, I'll be back. And then 9/11 happened and I was back. And I thought, he's damaged. She looks for damaged people. Her intention is her, like, I guess her thing, like people do it, don't they? They kind of come across or find people that are damaged in some way and think, I can kind of look after, nurture and fix this person. And then it goes horribly wrong. And then they move on to the next damaged person. And I could just see he's just damaged. This guy's damaged. It's not going to go well. This kind of needs to stop.
What did you think, Sophie, like on your first watch about this guy? Did you think it was going to work out, or you knew it was going to go down this path?
I think I felt the same. I think I just kind of, I never really had hope in him. I think I just assumed that she would just keep repeating the same patterns of, yeah.
Did anyone else have that kind of slight hope that her and Ethan would get back together? Ethan Hawke, obviously, it's Mason Senior.
Did you say?
I don't think so. No, I don't know why. I just assumed they never would, but yeah.
Ah. That was a hook in the film that I thought would be reoccurring. He'd keep appearing eventually. Two deadbeat other partners have gone. He's a great option, but it didn't happen. Like, I'm glad it didn't happen, but what did you think, Simon?
Yeah, no, I thought it might. And then when he had the baby, I was a bit disappointed. I was like, yeah. Oh, well, good for you, but I assume you're going to stay there now and that's that. But I mean, I thought maybe it was left a bit ambiguous. I was like, oh, the restaurant manager's interested. I thought he seems nice. Maybe he's a safe bet. Did I get this wrong? But was one of the, like, mums coming on to Mason saying about, like, oh, I'll drive you to college or something like that? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Creepy.
Yeah, I noticed that, but then they brushed past it quite quickly, and you're just like, oh, hang on, was she having a crack?
Yeah, I guess if it was a man to a woman the other way around, it's just so sexist, isn't it? It would feel really like creepy and whatever. But this way, it's like, yeah, score, amazing, like,
good lad.
Yeah, though, do you remember that show, The Teacher? Like, I got you to watch, yeah. Dom. It was really good, yeah. But I don't know. Have you seen it, Sophie?
No, I never heard of it.
It's got I've forgotten his name. Nick, what's his name? Nick Robinson, who was the older brother in Jurassic World, but he's been in loads of things. He's really good actor. He was in Maid as like the abusive boyfriend. He's been in lots of things, but he's in it and he's a student like in high school, and he ends up having an affair with his teacher, and his teacher is, she's famous. What's her name, Dom?
I don't bloody know.
She was in the Fantastic Four, like one of them. She's famous, you'd know her. Redhead. Anyway, and well, spoiler alerts, it ruins his whole life. Like, I think people think, oh, it's so cool and whatever because it's a, you know, an older woman and this, that, and the other, and it literally like ruins his life. But it's a very good show. I've ruined it for you, so I'm sorry.
Cool. Yeah.
Have you got a name, Dom?
Looking now.
Wait, oh, you look, actually, tomorrow. Just quickly, did you guys think that we would ever see those stepkids again that they leave behind, like when they escape, like that abusive husband?
No.
I was in the phase of, what's happening here? Why are they older but... they're not, it's the same kid. I don't understand. I was in that phase at this point. So I'd kind of forgotten about them once we'd moved on. But yeah, I wasn't expecting them.
Yeah, it was so sad.
So sad.
Just
left. Yeah, you're like, oh. I know, and you're kind of like hoping that like, oh, I hope it gets better for them. But you kind of have a feeling that like it doesn't.
And it shows
the dad's side of things anyway.
Yeah, and she says, you know, I've called child services, I've called their mother, like there's not really anything else that she can do. It really does also illustrates just the hardships that people can go through. Like, I, you know, I'm quite, touch wood, it's not going to change now, is it, unless Effany really has a change in personality. But I kind of I guess take for granted how lucky I am that, you know, I've not been in an abusive relationship ever. My parents have always been in a loving relationship. Like, I've never seen any, like, domestic violence or anything like that. And I don't know what the stats are, but so many people do, right? Like, I'm sure more people don't than do, but I mean, I don't really know. But I mean, there must be so many people that have these uncertainties and can feel unsafe at home. And yeah, well, the effect that must have on you when you're, especially when you're at such an impressionable age, must be immeasurable. So again, I think the movie did really well at showing that. I liked how on the second army alcoholic guy, how he just faded out. Like, we didn't even see him leave. It was just when we got to the next year, he was just gone. Like, we don't need to explain that. It's just, there you go.
bites the dust.
What about the girlfriend, Sophie, though? His, like, high school girlfriend. What did you think of her? They're going to be together forever, and then the old messy breakup.
Yeah, I wonder if now's the time to bring up. I don't know, my boyfriend and I always had this discussion when we watched it the first time and again last night. Just like, there's something about, I don't know if it's the actor. Did you guys find this, that he's kind of not as likable like when he's a teenager? And I think it's the actor. Like, I don't think it's the character. Like, I think the character is still supposed to be likable throughout that whole time. But there's something like, oh, it sounds mean, but like, you really like him. And then I find like in those teenage years towards the end, like when he speaks, I don't know, he kind of comes across like a little bit like creepy in some instances as well. I don't know. What did you guys think?
A little bit dead on the inside. Is that what you're trying to say?
I don't know.
Dom, is he dead on the inside?
Oh yeah, yeah. There's nothing in there. It's just tin. He's made of tin. I also thought his performances as he got older got a little bit worse as well, but not to the extreme of the sister. The sister was just, you know, she started off well as a kid and then was just bad from then on in. He was okay. And then, yeah, teenage years, I started to get a little bit fed up with him and a bit irritated. Just like, again, he was just a bit mopey. Didn't really open his mouth when he talked. That was kind of the good thing about the second drunk husband, is that he was like, fucking open your mouth when you speak, you know, enunciate. I want to hear what you're saying. But he was just like ultimate kind of disaffected teenager. And I didn't really like him that much kind of in the later years. I agree with you completely, Sophie.
Yeah, I agree too. I mean, there was some times where, you know, I could see some of his behavior that I had when I was a teenager, like in just like doing things when you're not supposed to be doing things, like, in, you know, whatever. But when his hair was like super long over his face and he'd come home and he was like a bit stoned or whatever and stuff, it was like, he kind of had no personality. Like, it kind of, there was no, so yeah. And when he was like arguing with his girlfriend, that felt quite realistic, like the pettiness where she's like been with a lacrosse player and that obviously really affected him. And then he's trying to get back at her and be vengeful by saying, I've been with other people too. And, you know, like the pettiness of those teenage relationships. But I liked that how when he then got to college and he met his roommate, it's kind of like he found his tribe, so to speak. Like, he found his people and they go on that hike. And like, I liked that ending for it. It seemed like he had a little something going with that girl that he was sat with, and seemed a bit more like he's gone through that transition. It would have been cool to see the next 12 years though, because I think equally as interesting as that transition from childhood into, you know, the end of your teenage years, is that then that transition from being a teenager into being a young adult and going through your 20s, like things. And then most people, not all people, have kids in their 30s, and then you watch the cycle repeat in front of you. And then, like, Patricia Arquette's character said, and then, you know, nature's done with you. You know, it's a it's a horrible thing, but yeah. Well, what did you guys think of
emotional?
Yeah.
I actually felt like, surprisingly, I didn't expect to. I actually like teared up a bit when it suddenly cuts like towards the end when he's driving like by himself, like to college, and I was like, oh, like he's finally like free. Like I could really relate to that moment. Like, you know, he doesn't have to listen to his parents anymore. He's not stuck there anymore. And like, he can actually like, I don't know, like live his life now. It was like, oh, like this is like a new chapter. Yeah.
What about you, Dom? I mean, we know your emotions are, you're basically Mason. But
also tin.
yeah
I did not get emotional watching it. I thought it was a good ending though. It was a great way to kind of sign it off, like exactly like you said, Simon. He's found his tribe, he's found people that he can you know, be comfortable with, kind of be himself around as well, because I think a lot of the struggle with someone of his character and people like him, and I'm sure, you know, the three of us have had the, you know, a similar struggle in terms of being in a room of people or being surrounded by people all the time that you just don't really click with, and it's really difficult to kind of keep any sort of energy going because they're not your people, they're not people you want to be spending time with, and it's difficult. And I think this kid is just that the entire way through until we meet the three people at the end, and he does have a connection with the girl, and she has the kind of good line about seizing the day, but the day is seizing you. And you know, those moments will find you rather than you going and finding those moments. So I thought that was a good way to end it. And his, you know, very curly haired ginger friend is screaming at the top of his voice in the middle of a canyon. It's, you know, fair enough, go for it, son. You've got this. But I just want to drag us back to one really, really quick moment with the Bible. What did we think about the Bible moment? As I really wasn't expecting that. Now, Sophie, I can't speak for you because I've not known you as long, but I can speak to me and Simon. And I know that if we had gone to someone's house, like I assume a grandparent, or they're the parents of the dad's new wife, right? And they'd given us a present, we would pretend to be grateful. Like, oh, thank you. No, this is great. And he was semi grateful and kind of carried it around with him, took it to church, and they did all the kind of grandparenty things. But I didn't really get the point of it at all, really. Like, what was the need for that moment? And yeah, Sophie, how would you have been with receiving a Bible?
I don't know, classic, like, me as a kid, I was very shy, and I just would have been like, thanks. But I don't know, maybe it was to show that, like, because, you know, obviously at this point, like, the dad, he's, like, got this new family now. So I don't know, maybe it's showing that, like, I don't know, like, this is a new family, and now they've got their own, like, traditions and, like, things that they, you know, believe in, and, like, they're not, like, a part of that. I don't know. That's kind of the only thing I can think of.
Well, yeah, or maybe it's also to show that, like what you're saying there, Sophie, would take it a little further, is that Ethan Hawke's character, Mason Sr., is even having to bend some of his personal beliefs because to compromise to being part of that family, and showing that these are the things that maybe he is mature enough to do now that he wasn't mature enough to do with Patricia Arquette's character. I like the pairing of here's a Bible, but here's also a shotgun. I said when we was watching it, I was like, this is as American as it gets. Like, here's a Bible and here's a shotgun.
It was like super Texas, wasn't it? It was like, this is Texas 101.
Yeah. And then he was teaching him to shoot, and he was throwing the things behind him and stuff. Like, I thought there's all nice moments, as much as we're joking about it. Like, and hey, if that's what you believe, and it was a nice Bible, it had his name, you know, engraved in it. So, like, I think it was a nice gift. But yes, it was kind of an odd thing to buy a teenager, I guess. He was probably thinking, a PlayStation 2? No? Okay, or whatever era we're in, PlayStation 3 at this point, probably. I don't know. But, yeah, okay, well, is there anything else? Should we go into judgments? Yeah, I mean, it's a hard film to cover. I was surprised at how long it was when I... So this was on Amazon Prime, which is great. Though, what the hell, man? Like, I don't know if this is happening in Australia. Dom, do you have Prime?
I have access to Prime, yes.
So cryptic. Well, so I've got Prime. Like, I didn't get it because I wanted the TV thing. I just have it because for the Amazon same day, next day delivery stuff. And there you go. It comes with it. So I've had it for years. And there is some good stuff on there. We watched, like, Jack Ryan on there and some other bits that are good. And but now, without any warning, they've probably sent an email with fine print on, there's adverts. It's like as if they suddenly had the adverts on Netflix. It's like, what are paying for this? What do you mean there's adverts?
That's coming. Netflix adverts on Netflix will happen soon.
What?
It's coming. It's coming. It's huge.
That's bollocks.
Honestly. It's huge. It's how they make their billions, my friend.
But why? Like, we already pay a subscription.
Because you pay a subscription at a certain level, and what they can do is charge you more to not have the adverts.
That's bollocks, man. Well, no, they shouldn't do that. If they want to do that, bring in a lower tier that costs less and then make that have adverts. You shouldn't, punish the people that are already paying at... Anyway, I was very annoyed. So, like, a couple times through the film, it just cut to adverts. It's just... Anyway.
And it reminds you, like, how did we put up with that? Like, for so many years, like, you know, watching, like, free-to-air TV. It's just like, oh, God.
My son doesn't... I don't think he even understands adverts. Like, because it's all... Everything is, I can click now and watch anything I want on Disney Plus. Like, it's not... What is adverts?
Or your son will only understand being able to skip adverts.
Right, yes. And binging. Not like I have to wait an hour before the show comes on at 7 o'clock or whatever. It's like I click it, it's on now. Yeah, and I watch, exactly, and I've got every episode. I've got five seasons, whatever. But, yes. Okay, well, yeah, let's go into judgments then. So if you enjoyed this episode of the podcast...
And how could you not?
Then check us out, ravenshoops.net. Why, Sophie? Because your boyhood dreams go through...
Hoops?
Sure. But Dom, they can also go through...
Nets.
ravenshoops.net. That's where you can find our Patreon and all of our additional content and perks and where you can connect with us on there. Sophie, we won't do all of the judgments. We'll just do, you know, some select ones. But if you were to choose, who was your favorite performer of the movie?
I'd say the mum, Patricia Arquette. Yeah, I don't know. I thought her performance was pretty great. She captures everything pretty well.
Oscar winning.
You might say.
Yeah. What do you think, Dom? Favourite performer?
I think exactly the same. I thought she was fantastic. She was so good all the way through from start to finish. So definitely her. What about you, mate?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, an amazing performance. You can see why she won. I mean, I don't know who she was up against that year, but yeah, amazing. I mean, the whole film in general. I mean, we'll get to that. Okay. What about your favourite character, Sophie?
Maybe Mason, probably just because I could relate to him the most, I guess.
And Dom?
I actually think Mason Sr. I thought I could relate to him the most, funny enough. I don't know whether that's an age thing or not, but I think his, like, sporting influences, I think the music, obviously, some of the political stuff, but I'm not that deep in political stuff, so... Yeah, I'll go Mason Senior. You, Simon?
Well, just on you saying that with the sport, just another quick trivia point. So when they're at that baseball game and the guy hits a home run, where the cameras were set up, he hit the home run like perfectly in place of where it was. And apparently, if you go back and listen, you can hear Ethan Hawke saying to Richard Linklater, "Oh my God, did you get that?" Did you get that shot? But as the camera's panning towards him, he's like, "Oh my God, did you get?" Oh, like hits back into acting because he realizes like he's being filmed.
Don't fuck it up.
Yeah, on like the one shot.
They play a Gary Glitter song as well, which is not ideal.
Oh, did they?
When he hits the home run, it goes into a Gary Glitter song that...
In 2014? Oh, well, like in the stadium? Or was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, in the stadium, yeah. So it wasn't like a movie choice. They couldn't...
No. Yeah. It was played in the stadium.
Okay. Fair. There were times that I really liked Mason Sr., definitely. But if I was to look at the movie on a whole, I think I would go with... Patricia Arquette's character. I found her to be, when she was on the screen, I was most involved, I think, or most interested. I got Mason obviously as well, but there are times where it was almost just a little bit too real, but with her I felt like I was really invested in her journey. So yeah, I'll go with her. Sophie, do you have a favorite line of the movie?
Oh, I didn't think about this.
It's a hard
great
one.
Question. Maybe just at the end. I liked like that final line at the end when they just talk about something about life just being like a string of moments, because it literally sums up like the whole movie, you know, and kind of like, yeah, what they were going for.
Yeah, nice. What about you, Dom?
I'll pick exactly the same moment, the seizing the day and the day seizing you moment. And you?
Well, I like that moment too. I like specifically when she's like, it's like every moment is now, it's all right now, because that is exactly what it is. Like there is only now, there is no later, there is no past, there is just this exact moment. And I thought that's, yeah, it's perfectly put. And like you said, Sophie, it does sum it all up. So last but not least, let's talk about the precious rating. So on movie episodes, we usually do two ratings. We don't have to agree, they're just individual. We do a subjective and an objective. So what does it mean to us, and what do we think with our film critic hat on? I mean, Dom and I probably only have one rating because it's both our first time viewing it. But Sophie, what would be your two ratings? What does it mean to you personally, and then your objective opinion out of 10?
Personally, yeah, give it a 10. I think I give it a 10 for both ratings. I just feel like personally, like it just really showed, I don't know, I guess just like a lot of like emotions similar to what like I was going through as a child, and like that couldn't, I don't know, I just feel like it describes it really well, just what it's like to be a kid, I think. Especially like, you know, like they show a lot, like adults like giving you unsolicited advice. Like, did you ever have those moments as a kid when it's like, mum's friends that you never met and they're just like, oh, you know, this is what you gotta do, and you just as a kid like, what, rambling, but no, yeah. And I just think it's just a brilliant film. I think it's so different from anything else that I've seen, and yeah, 10 both ways.
Excellent.
Nice.
And you, Dom?
No, I thought the concept of the film was actually genius. I thought it was brilliant. I thought bringing 12 years filming and then going back and visiting and kind of jumping around and watching the growth of these people kind of in real time, more or less, like you know what I mean, was amazing. And being watching them on kind of on that journey and kind of watching the actors grow as well. I mean, you see Ethan Hawke aging, and you know, all of them are like obviously getting much older. So it was such an interesting concept and a good thing to sort of put together. I think it was really well acted and performed as well, for the most part. Like 95% was decent acting, and then 5% was just that girl really. So I'm gonna give it a 9. I think it's a really solid 9. I did enjoy the film. I thought it was good. And I think I'm the same as both of you. I probably wouldn't revisit it anytime soon. If it was on, I'd watch it. I don't think I'd pick it. My favourite line. And you, Simon?
The classic, Dom. Well, when I think of ratings for films, I try to think, what is the best possible film you could make about this subject? You know, like, as in, those are the boundaries within a rating to make it fair. And I don't know if you could make a better film than this about, with this concept about this. I mean, the only way it could be better, though it wouldn't be better, it would just be different, is if you could do it on a different person's life perspective, someone in a different country or a different part of America, or a different, could be, you know, on a girlhood, you know, it could be on a girl's journey or whatever. There's so many different ways you could take it, because everyone's life experience is so different and so unique to them. So I would give it a 10. It was just so well done. I also, though, again, yes, like Dom said, and like I said earlier, it's not something I think I would be like, I'm gonna watch this once a year every year now. Like, I could imagine in like 5 years time, maybe I'll throw it on again, or show someone, or, you know, maybe it's like a movie I'd watch with my son when he's old enough to get it, and thing, you know, be quite old. It's probably like 15 years away, but you know, like, and yeah, I think it's impressive. They made it for like $2.5 million. Like, there's nothing, like, I mean, it's something, but I mean, in movie budget terms. So yeah, so impressed. Another great choice, Sophie. You've got a lot to live up to. What are we gonna do after this? Are we doing his whole filmography? Are you turning this into a Richard Linklater podcast?
No, I actually haven't seen any other of his work, but I think I'll have to. But no, I do have another movie. But yeah, I think there's definitely a pattern with the types of movies that I like. I really like movies like that focus on like time and like the human experience, I guess. But thanks for having me on again so soon.
Oh, absolute pleasure. I'm really hoping your next choice is going to be something super left of field compared to this, just like Happy Gilmore or something. Yeah. It's not, is
not
it?
Quite.
It's not. We're in for another.
It's because I don't know.
Drama, aren't we?
Yeah. Because I always end up like finding movies like this and becoming obsessed, and then no one else I know watches them. So I'm like, I need to get this out.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. It was a great choice. And like Dom and I have been saying a lot recently, it's so cool to experience and watch new movies, especially really good ones like this, and Before Sunrise and Sling Blade we did was also another one that was really good. And you know, like, other, these more like dramatic, serious movies that we haven't experienced, it's really cool. So thank you so much for bringing it into our universes, and thank you for taking the time with us.
Oh, thank you guys, as always. So glad.
How are we gonna
it was always wonderful to see you, Sophie, and join you and have you join us on a podcast, as always. And great to see the sunrise in Australia as well.
Oh yes, you know, it's quite cloudy today. It's more London vibes, I think. Very
clear. I used to.
I also loved, you've got the Ravens t-shirt on. Dom and I both had a hand in this. You know, I went and got them printed. Dom shipped that out to you. I love the fact that it's there. And isn't it so comfortable? The comfort colors, the t-shirt.
I was just about to say, like, I always knew it would be good, but like, I was actually so shocked by how comfortable it actually is. Like, to compare, I went to see Taylor Swift recently, and she came to Australia. Got a t-shirt. Absolute shit compared to this material. Like, it's honestly, I was like, the Ravens t-shirt is actually way comfier than this. Yep.
That's how we do it.
Better than billionaires here.
Yeah. It gets better with every wash as well. That's not a joke. It's like part of the thing. It becomes more like, yeah, no, I know that those t-shirts, don't laugh, Dom. You didn't get a t-shirt. You just got the hoodie. You should have got the t-shirt. It's the... Yeah, yeah. But how
do that in future? Just get the t-shirts.
Yeah, we've got to talk about that. We've got the next hoodies. Anyway, how are we going to end this? What are we going to say on three?
Maybe we should do it in 12 years' time.
Yeah.
No, seriously, how do we end this?
It's Raven's choice, isn't it?
How do you want to do it, Sophie?
I don't know.
I really don't even know what songs I'm going to use for the intro, the outro. It's all confusing on this one.
I know, it is. Well, what's like something big in pop culture right now that can tell the listeners know what year we're in?
Yes. What's a big song right now? Taylor Swift. Can you do a... Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know any Taylor Swift.
Yeah. I don't know any from this year.
We just let the moment fade.
There's someone close to your car.
Who's that by your car?
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus Christ. It's just local council worker picking up some rubbish, I think.
Okay. All right. They're not nefarious. It's fine. What, Dom? Dom, can you be an Australian council worker picking up litter outside of Sophie's car?
Yeah. What the hell's this girl doing? She on an interview or something? she's been in her car for hours. There was an ambulance parked next to her for ages, and she did nothing about it.
I saw that.
Absolutely nothing.
Crikey.
Yeah. Anyway, let's stick with this and let's do Ravens on three.
It's really good.
There's an Aussie in the room. It's probably not that good. Let's go for it. One, two. I love maps. Three.
Ravens.
Ravens. Perfect.